Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored. And I have a full stomach, and that is not good for broadcasting. It works fine until you try to speak, and then it doesn't really work. And of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, man?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm feeling good. I'm in good shape. I'm gonna say something I shouldn't say because there's a lot of bad stuff going on out there. But I've been home for a month. I haven't been able to go anywhere. I haven't done anything. I've put on a pair of jeans in a month. And I'm having a good time. You know why? Because I'm playing video games like a 15-year-old.
That's a good thing.
It's fantastic. I don't have a job. I'm not making money. But you know what? I don't care. So we need your money, Patreon guys. What's going on with you, sir?
Not much. I still have a job, and so it's been remarkably busy. Actually, this past week was just a little nuts. We had a conference that we still did. We just did it virtually.
Yeah.
I participated in that and was a good time. But hopefully things are slowing down a little bit on the work front. Again, I am not complaining about having a job right now. I'm very blessed and fortunate to have a job.
So. I should have a job. The funny thing is that everybody at my job is home because we have a job that we can do from home. The only person that's not working is me. Because my name's on the door, that means I'm expendable.
Right.
Like, I asked him, I'm like, dude, I'm around if there's remote work or anything that needs to be done. He's like, nope, all good. And I'm like, thanks, buddy. Really appreciate that. So all of our guys are working from home. I know you're working from home. The only difference is I'm not getting paid, so there's that.
Yeah. Fortunately, I'm still getting that. So I've had a little bit more time for video games than in the past, and hopefully it'll ramp up a little bit the next couple of weeks as things slow down with work a little bit. But that being said, we've got some fun games to talk about we'll get into in just a little bit. Other than that, let me mention, coming up on the show, given that we get to anything else other than the game we're going to talk about here in just a second, some great Mario rumors from Nintendo. We'll talk about that. So much of the news is just what coronavirus is doing to everything in the gaming world, and so we have several things in that vein. We've got an update for E3. Not going to be here this year, but they're planning on next year, so we'll talk about that.
Nice.
And a potential Netflix show that is just fascinating to me, and so we'll talk about that as well, given that we have time after we talk about playing video games. By the way, big thanks to Patreon guys. You already mentioned Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavosh, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, and Sam. Thank you guys a ton. Hope y'all are weathering this weird time well. We need to do a roundtable soon.
Yes.
this is a really logical time to do a roundtable. So so hopefully in the near future we will be doing that. But nonetheless, we appreciate you guys a ton. We'll also be working to put some content up, more content up over there pretty soon. If you want to hang out with us on Patreon, go by gaminguncensored.com and click that become a patron link.
I put Patreon content up and nobody watched it. So,
I mean, that's all we could do, you know.
Like, I put it up, but nobody watches it. So, like, okay.
Yeah.
I have been playing a ton of games. For all of my being loud and being Jimmy Jordan and all that, you know, and I think everybody else that knows on this show that's been around long enough knows I have like four jobs, and one of them pays really well, so I'm not like in deep trouble because I have an online job that pays really well and has for a very 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 long time, and the guy that is responsible for that doesn't expect me to do a lot to get paid really well. So I've had a little time to play some games. I know you've had some time to play some games. I talked about what I was playing last week in Mankind Divided. Still playing that. I'll tell you the same thing that I told you last week. Man, it's good. It's really good. The whole series is good. I'm looking at DLC now because I'm at the end of the game. I'm like, what am I going to play? Well, it turns out the DLC is really good. And so I was surfing around Steam looking for DLC this morning. And you'll get a kick out of this because we always say that this show is brought to you by Duff. And because it is the time of year that it is, I decided to see what the reviews for Half-Life Alyx look like on Steam. And the first review on the Half-Life Alyx page, and I'm sure it's just because he's my friend, but the first review is Duff.
Nice.
And I'm like, that's awesome. That's the coolest thing ever. First one up there. And of course, it says it rocks. And I have been living vicariously watching. I've watched a couple hours on YouTube. And I have two words for it. Are you ready? You want to know my two words for Half-Life Alyx?
Uh-huh.
It's woo! That's my two words. Woo! It's that good. So,
yeah.
I've been waiting on you to play it. You have. I'm so excited.
Yes. We will. I'll mention that. We'll get into that in just a second. I'll just mention briefly. Ori and the Will of the Wisp is phenomenal. we talked about that before too, so we won't go on about that. That's a fantastic game. Animal Crossing is still a fantastic game. We have just so you know, if you saw the PayPal, the Patreon guys, thank you. We have Final Fantasy VII Remake pre-ordered and ready to go. I never pre-ordered.
What?
That's
really just
bizarre to me. Yeah, it's so that's coming on Friday. That'll be here. So we've got lots of good stuff coming as well as currently here.
I have an accessibility controller. So if you can get out of the quarantine zone at any point in the near future, we need to get that thing up and running so I can buy my own copy of the remake.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah,
it's exciting times. All that said, though, let's talk about Half-Life Alyx because I'm really pumped to talk about Half-Life Alyx. I've not spent as much time in it as I would like for lots of reasons we can get into in just a bit. But I've got probably about an hour and a half to 2 hours, somewhere in that range. in it at this point. And so at least gotten a good feel for it at this time. Apparently a pretty solidly 15 to 20 hour game in itself. So a long ways to go. So take everything we're talking about with that grain of salt. But just having experienced that much of it at this point, we've got plenty to talk about with it. And just to echo your exuberant sentiment, it's pretty phenomenal. It is no questions the best VR gaming title that's out there. It's not even close.
It's not even close. It's not.
There's nothing even in the realm.
No.
It's its own thing in the world of VR at this point. There's been lots of fun things I've done in VR, but one of the things we've talked about with VR a lot is that those experiences, using that kind of phrase that's so common with VR, those experiences often work better because longer form games can get a little bit tedious in VR. You can get worn down, all this kind of stuff. But Half-Life Alyx has figured out, I think, in a lot of ways, how to just like blow that kind of sentiment about VR away. If it's a hardcore game, obviously, like it's Half-Life, it is about as core of a gaming title as you get. And it's the only VR title I can really think of where like it's done that thing to me that like now that I've played it and I'm not playing it, like I think about it, you know, like I'm like going to sleep at night going, man, I'm really excited for next time I get to play some Alyx because that thing is super cool, you know, and like most games don't do that, VR or not, you know, like there's a certain number of games that like kind of stick with you when you're doing other things. Half-Life Alyx is one of those games. It's the only VR game that's ever done that to me, but I'm kind of already jonesing to get back into it. And that's a huge testament for a VR title. It's no shock. It's Valve and it's Half-Life. And so, yeah, it would have been shocking if it wasn't phenomenal.
Okay, look.
It's phenomenal.
Okay, look, all of that being said, you're right. It would have been shocking. But nobody anywhere expected this. Like, people expected Valve to put out a good title, and I think most people were thinking, hey, it'll be the closest thing to a VR game we've ever seen. We'll probably get, you know, good 5, 6, 7 hours. It'll wet our whistle for Half-Life, and then maybe we'll get lucky and we'll get Half-Life 3. And then this thing comes out, and it's a game. Like, it's an actual game that you have to sit down and play and put time in. I don't think anybody expected that.
Yes. Yeah, I think in a lot of ways, people thought it was going to be like the Half-Life VR experience, whereas so many other games kind of have that, you know. L.A. Noire has, you know, their like VR experience, whatever, you know, like this was going to be the Half-Life VR experience. And it's not. It's a full blown, like hardcore, like Half-Life game. That, and this is premature to say, I'm gonna say something a little bit Jamie Jordan-ish really quickly here, having only put a couple hours into it at this point, but also having heard Duff talk about it a ton and other people talk about it and everything else, this is a Game of the Year candidate, not a VR Game of the Year, a Game of the Year candidate. And we've got Final Fantasy VII coming. We have The Last of Us 2 maybe coming. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We've got some really, really solid stuff theoretically coming this year. And so it's not, you know, it's March. It's not, or April, I guess, now. It's not, okay, this is it. But it has to be considered. And if it's not nominated for Game of the Year in several places, we're missing out something here.
Okay, look. First, it's going to be nominated because ain't nobody want to piss off Valve.
That's right.
That ain't going to happen. That's going to get nominated. Secondly, I'm about to be Jamie Jordan here and say, not only should it be nominated for Game of the Year, but I think somebody else is going to have to knock it off. If there's some other game out there that wants to be Game of the Year, they're going to have to bring it, because in my mind, I've seen like 2 hours of this thing, and that's it. It's over. Like, I'm going to make a reference nobody will get, but I got Kenny Smith's voice in my head from a dunk contest like 5 years ago, talking about Vince Carter with his hand in the rim, screaming, "It's over, ladies and gentlemen, it's over." That's where I'm at.
Yeah,
it's over.
My, I don't think so crazy prediction. It's somebody, some reputable source of all this like game of the year stuff will give it game of the year. Like, we will see at least one of the big kind of game media players.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like you'll have like two people that don't. Like
that. By the time we get to the end of the year, The Last of Us 2 is a big question mark to me right now. Whether or not that thing actually comes out this year, I think is at this point its biggest competition. We'll see. I don't know. Ooh, there's a bunch of the year left, but it's that good. And I think that's important to say here, that this is a game that could put VR in that kind of echelon of real gaming that I don't think that VR has yet been considered. Like, it's been a cool, interesting, kind of gimmicky thing that had not yet had a breakout piece of software, that this can absolutely be that breakout piece of software.
I've seen multiple places from multiple people say that this, and I totally agree, this is a system seller. And what got me is what I saw today. I don't know where you are in the game. I'm not that far into it. Like I said, just a couple hours.
Sure.
On YouTube. But I was feeling that, hey, it's a Half-Life VR title, until the combine show up,
yeah.
And you do the second gun upgrade, and you, I don't know if you've gotten in a gunfight with the combine yet,
nope.
Right? Like, you're coming up on this section where you get in a gunfight with the combine, and the music kicks up, and it's Half-Life music, and you remember that section in Half-Life 2? Where you're on the boat, and you're going through, and the music's cranking, and it's loud, and it's fabulous, and there's things popping up, and you're trying not to die.
Yeah.
You remember that section? That's
sure.
What this is.
Yeah.
And when I saw that, that's when I said, woo, because it's Half-Life. There's no question. It's Half-Life.
Yeah, it is executed exactly how you would expect Half-Life. I say this, you know, playing Half-Life, and even Half-Life 2 has been years and years and years ago. But I did, you know, fire up Black Mesa just a few weeks back. We talked about that a little bit on the show, and just to kind of scratch that itch and kind of rejuvenate all those like Half-Life feels, you know, that I'm like, oh yeah, this world. And then putting on the headset and kind of booting it up in VR, and just once you start kind of walking around in the city, the first little bit's just kind of, you know, figuring out where you're at and getting kind of the vibe of Half-Life in VR. But once you start kind of navigating it and getting around the city a little bit, like, it goes, oh yeah, okay, this feels legit. Like, this is what Half-Life
it's
should
city
be.
It's City 17.
Yeah.
Like, the first section where you're doing the roof thing, which is what, the, like, there's a whole lot of homage to Half-Life two here.
There is a ton. It feels so Half-Life 2 at the beginning.
And like, she's running across the roof, and I'm like, I remember doing that.
Yeah.
Like, I remember doing that. Like, it just reeks of Half-Life.
Yes.
It's that. Yeah. And one thing that I will say, we've played a lot of VR games. This does something that I have not seen in VR games, and it's the smallest little nitpicky little thing, and I know you played around with it because it's very, very early, but she walks out onto a balcony, and there's beer bottles and cans and various things. And the guy that I'm watching picks up a can, I don't know if it was a beer can or a soda can or whatever, and squeezes it, and it crumbles. And I went, wow! And then, like, I'm, like, mind blown, right? And then he picks up a bottle and chucks it off the balcony, and you see it break. Like, it's like, I'm like, holy, it's the Matrix. Like, this thing, it just plugged me in.
Yes.
Somebody plugged me in.
Yes. It is by far the most kind of immersive, real feeling world that I've experienced in VR. That, like, that you could interact with the world on that level. Like, we've played, like you said, we've played tons of VR stuff. And so there's lots of games where there's like objects floating around and like you point the controller at it and, you know, you can like grab it, which when you get the gravity gloves in Half-Life, we'll talk about that here in a second, which is super fun. But you could, in other VR titles, kind of grab those things and you can like float them around in the environment. And it's kind of clever because there's these little objects. But in Half-Life, like you grab things, like you pick them up. And I'm playing... right now I'm playing, I've played on the Quest with the Oculus controllers, because I really like the Oculus controllers compared to the first gen Vive controllers. And so I'm going to, fire it up on the Vive too. I know Duff is going to be disappointed hearing that, because Duff's been saying play it with the wireless Vive. And so we'll do that too. But I just much prefer the Oculus controllers with the true analog sticks in it and all that kind of stuff. But one of the things that's really nice there is, even though other controllers out there have more kind of that finger tracking sensitivity, even with the Oculus Quest controllers, it does a really good job of it's capacitance sensitive. So when you just like put your finger on the trigger in the game, like her finger moves, right? Her finger comes in to like a clutched kind of grasp thing without ever actually pulling the trigger. Like, it tracks your fingers decently. Thumb and forefinger really well. The other three fingers, not as much, but a little bit. You get the idea from grip and that kind of stuff. All that to say that it's enough that you feel like you're physically interacting with this world, and very quickly the controller feel kind of goes away. Like, you're not cognizant of the controllers that you're holding, but you're looking at your hands in virtual reality and feeling like you're learning how to interact with the world. There is a learning curve to that. I'll mention that. Like, the first little bit, at the very, very first scene of the game, you're just standing and looking over the city, and there's like a radio there. And I spent just like 10 minutes like playing with the little radio of just like figuring out the feel of the controllers, of like grabbing the tuning knob and just turning it back and forth, and just, you just kind of acclimate to this VR world. And there's still things that are weird and immersion breaking. I'll talk about some of those here in just a second. But you do have to spend some time just kind of getting used to whatever controllers you're using, how they kind of interact in the world. But once you do, the controllers are kind of disappearing, and then you feel like you're really just interacting in that space.
I will say that the controllers are a big deal. I'm glad that you brought up the analog stick, because this guy that I'm watching play does something that I did not expect, and that is that he walks around and does not teleport 90% of the time. He will teleport occasionally, but for the most part, this guy is walking around, and I don't know how he's not getting seasick. but he's like, it looks like he's playing an actual video game.
Yeah.
Like, he's walking around in Half-Life. And I really, I've seen him do it enough that the teleport thing works. And if you need to use it, it's there. But man, if you can walk around, that adds to the immersion so much.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of curious about that, because I haven't done that yet. I haven't done using the analog sticks to walk around. I've only done teleport at this point. There's good and bad about that for sure. The best experience would be you just have a large space that you have a lot of freedom to move around in, and so you can physically walk to a lot of the things in kind of each little area, and then maybe teleport through an area to walk around some more.
Yeah,
playing Skyrim a little bit, because I did play that with the kind of walk around with the analog stick setup. It was weird. It like in VR the whole reason it kind of gets you motion sick in the first place is because it's not immersive enough. Because your thumb is doing the work of your feet, if that makes sense. That you're pushing the analog stick to kind of navigate, and thus, like, your brain is like, what the crap's going on? Because your feet aren't moving, man, but we're going somewhere, you know, and that's where it really screws you up, you know, mentally, nauseous, wisely, whatever it is. And so I'm curious, all the reports about Half-Life Alyx is that they've done some really good, just really subtle things to kind of help with that. And I'll say our boy Duff sent us a cool link about some of that. And one of the points that the guy who wrote the article was making is about combat. And this is one place where I've had a little bit of a struggle with it, where playing it in the continuous motion where you use the analog stick to move around would be beneficial is in combat. Whenever you want to move quickly, because there's a head crab jumping at you, which is the most terrifying thing in the world. Like, unless you have that big room, that big space that you can physically move a lot in, you have to try to teleport out of that. And, like, doing something like just jumping back a few feet to shoot while backing up isn't something you can do in teleport mode. And I'm playing this in my my family room, which doesn't have a ton of space. And so I'm you know, room scale, but it's not a big room scale. I've got, you know, like, 5 steps in any direction that I can take. And at any point with the headset on, you don't know where you are relative in your room. And so I'm not willing to, like, jump backwards quickly because I don't know, like, if my desk is behind me or my TV is behind me or whatever. And so I just end up, like, crazy frantically, like, teleporting out of stuff. And then, like, I'm like, where'd he go? I'm turned around. I don't know where I am, you know? And it's very both disorienting and immersion breaking in that way. But if I could just pull back on an analog stick like you would in any other game, hit the S key on your keyboard, and, like, back up and like, run and gun backwards, that would help a ton in the combat. And so now I kind of, you know, like, just navigating the city where you're just, like, doing kind of platforming kind of stuff that you're just getting around. Like, that stuff, I think, teleport is great for. For the combat, I think I might prefer that continuous motion. So I'm obviously, we're going to play with that some more because I'm really, really curious about how that works. But that sounds appealing because I've found myself in a few places where I'm, like, shooting at even the, you know, the normal kind of headcrab zombie dudes, whatever they're called, that, like, they're pretty easy, they're pretty slow, and yet still, like, I'll get one that gets pretty close and lunges at me, and I try to teleport out of the way, and then I'm just lost, you know, because I teleported into a wall and I'm facing the wrong direction now and all that stuff. It just gets to
be a mess. You gotten to the black head crab yet? Because you think the original head crab is scary? The black ones are you're going to need to do something there.
The little glowing, like, whatever, yeah.
Those, they're smaller, they're black, and they're scary.
Yeah, that's like where I'm at. So, like, after you get, like, the flashlight in a little bit and going through dark areas and, like, there's head crabs coming at you when you that's horrifying. just terrifying in VR, right? Like, it's dark.
And I love it, like, the way that plays out. I love the way that she did her lines, because there was one section in there where you're in the dark and one of them jumps out, and the guy that I'm watching play, the head crab kind of gets him. Like, it doesn't latch on, but it kind of gets her, and she says to what's his face, Gary or whatever his name is, that's on the radio. I'm all right. I'm all right. And I thought, you know what? That is the best, because what else are you going to say?
Yeah.
To somebody that's listening on the radio.
Yep. Yeah, that's actually another really good point to bring up. It just the fact that it's Valve and that it's Half-Life, it has the production value of a AAA title, where a lot of VR games don't, right? Like, let's be honest about most of the VR titles out there, even the ones that are pretty good. Even, like, Star Wars. We played Vader Immortal together, which is super cool and fun and immersive. It doesn't hold a candle production-wise to this. Like, this is great voice acting, great motion capture. Like, the character models are super cool. The environment is immersive. Like, it's everything that you expect from a really solid AAA title in VR, and we just haven't seen that yet. There's just not been that kind of game out there at this point. And I'm so hopeful and so excited that Alex is going to really push that bar forward now that we're going to see more of that. Like, we're going to start getting some of these VR titles that are legit AAA title types of games.
But see,
because this is the first.
See, here's what I wonder about. I wonder if we're going to get those, because I wonder how many, like, I can count on my hand the number of studios that I think maybe possibly have the talent to do this.
Oh, sure.
The talent, the resources to do this. Like, this is, we talked about it last show that I talked about. An interview that Gabe did with IGN, and he said, look, we didn't do Half-Life 3 because we already did that. And we need, when we do something, we want to do something that moves things forward. And that's exactly what Alex does. But to be able to make a game in this space, you got to have some skills. Like, you can't just, like, oh yeah, we're gonna do that too. You gotta have some skills and some direction, and I don't know that there's that many out there that have that. There are, there's just not many.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, 100% true. We'll see some more of it. We'll see some failures of it too. That's part of the process of kind of growing in a different new medium, whatever. But yeah, I'm so happy that it's Valve that has done this. And now I want Portal VR, like legit Portal VR. Not just they did a, like, you know, a Portal experience kind of thing that you can get, but I want like a full on, like, really designed for VR, fantastic Portal game. It would just be, and I'm sure they're working. I would be stunned if they're not working on it. But that's what I hope for next. I'm perfectly happy having Valve now be the kind of leader developer on high quality VR games, because the Half-Life is great. Portal would be great. Left 4 Dead, I don't think I could do, but you know, it could be great. Half-Life is terrifying enough. My goodness. It's you know, the very first time, like, you really get into combat with the kind of zombie dudes on the train, it's a really nice kind of gradually getting you into it, because they're slow and kind of cumbersome. And so I was very intentional the first time I ran into those guys to just let them attack me a little bit. That I just wanted to feel it. You know, like, I wanted to, like, mentally just make sure, like, I knew what to expect if I suddenly got overrun by these guys. Because this is, like, psychologically, getting attacked by things in VR, like, kind of messes with you, right? Because your brain, again, is, like, in this immersive world, and like, you kind of feel it. Like, you kind of feel that anxiety come up in a way that video games do somewhat, you know, and especially if you're playing something like a Resident Evil or something that's really anxiety-driven, you know, like, you get that kind of heart race going. But VR is just a different experience because it's so immersive. And so I was like, okay, like, I'm just going to walk up to this dude. I'm going to let him just whack on me for a little bit, you know? Like, I just want the dude to be able to beat me down a bit so I can get that sense of what this is going to feel like in VR. And then after I did that, I was like, okay, cool. You know, like, okay, now I know, like, what happens when you get hit and what, you know, what it sounds like, because that's a big thing with it, you know, like, with this dude barreling down on me, whatever. And I was able to shoot him and kill him and go, okay, you know, time to move on. I'm feeling okay.
So,
but even then, it's still you can't be prepared for when they do, you know, stuff like dudes busting through walls or a head grab just lunging at your face. Like, you still just viscerally react, you know? You're like, oh, crap, you know? Like, what do I do here? It's just, yeah.
Well, and that's why I'm interested. I wish I could be with you to see you get to the next section, because I know what's coming. And you're about to, like I said, you're about to get into a legit, you know, diehard style gunfight with the Combine.
Yes. I'm really excited. I've seen that point because that was one of the little teaser videos they put out about the motion stuff. And so that's a moment I've been really looking forward to.
I want you to see that and see what your reaction is.
Yeah.
Because the difference with those guys in the subway is that you're right, it's very gradual, it's very quiet. And I just watched this. Like, you can hear them coming, you know they're there. This section that I'm talking about, the music kicks up and you're just going. Yeah. Like you gotta do something or you're gonna die. And I really want to know what you feel like when you hit that, because you're coming up on it. Like, you're probably 10, 15 minutes away.
Sure.
And I think it's gonna be a completely different feeling, and I would love to get a take from you right after that, because that's right there, just before we started the show, was when I got the Half-Life feeling. Like, I've been waiting for the music to come up and things to get a little crazy, and here it is. And so I'm really curious about that. The other thing that I would like to know about, because I don't have the headset, so I don't have any idea. It looks gimmicky to me, the deal with the resin and having to find the resin and then having to find the device and I don't know how the gloves work. So
yeah.
Is it real hard to pick stuff up and find stuff? Because I'm watching this guy, and the one thing that I would say is, I'm looking at that going, okay, after 20 minutes of that, like, I'm over that. Can we do this a different way, please? Because you're having to pick up a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You definitely do. I'm glad you brought that up, because I did want to talk about the gloves, and kind of slipped my mind. The gloves are brilliant. The gloves are a problem-solving mechanic of the game that I think works really, really well. In that, one of the super annoying things about VR is, like, it's kind of a pain to just go search every corner of a room, especially, again, if you're doing kind of teleport-based VR. It's fairly immersion breaking to see something over there that you know is far enough away that, like, room scale wise, you can't just walk over and grab it. And so you have to teleport like three times. And then you get there and you're like, oh, this isn't anything I can interact with anyway. And you have to turn around, teleport back or whatever. It's a weird thing. And so the idea with the gravity gloves, which is brilliant because Half-Life already has this kind of mechanic built into it, you know,
Here's what I love about it. It not only in Half-Life 2, which is 5 to 10 years in the future, he has a gravity gun, which Alex's dad built.
Right.
And what I love about what they did with the story with the gloves is that the gloves are the early prototype of that. Like,
yes.
It's very obvious that this is where they started, and this is the first step of that tech.
Yes, it's already canon. And so as a Half-Life fan, you go in going, oh, yeah, totally, makes sense. Like, gravity gloves, like, that feels right for Half-Life. And then, like, when you first get them and you go down to the street and whatever the dude's name is you know, hanging out the window, and he's like, tosses you a magazine clip, right? That you can catch it as it's coming towards you, which again works just really well. Just the timing of having to grasp stuff feels really, really rewarding. You go, oh, okay, this is the mechanic that they want me to use in the game. And so then when you see, you know, ammo, or you see resin around in the world that you can kind of just point at it. It took me a little bit to figure it out because it's like, I didn't quite understand like how you were supposed to point at it. I was thinking like big open hand palm facing towards whatever it is, like, you know, magic elevation, levitation, whatever. But it's more you like kind of keep your hand down and then you flick your wrist and it like stuff flies to you. And that actually, that mechanic feels really natural after you play with it for just a little bit. You kind of flick your wrist up and something flies at you, and then you grasp the controller. You just, the grab kind of function that's on all these VR controllers, and you grab it, you catch it in midair. And that feels so cool and so rewarding and such an easy way to get that stuff that's in the environment without having to like physically go over and bend over and pick stuff up. Because again, that just, it feels weird in VR, as much as it like, obviously, okay, there's something sitting on the floor, I need to bend over and pick that up. Like that can be really, really immersion breaking in VR. So being able to kind of just flick it at you, and it's only kind of smaller objects, so you can't like, it's not the gravity gun at this point where I can just move anything I want to or whatever, you know. There's just kind of smaller objects in the world that I can flick to myself, or can like flick a beer bottle at me, grab the beer bottle, and then throw it at a barnacle with big tongue thing hanging down or whatever, and then it gets caught up and I can run under it really quick. Like it just creates this way that you can interact with the world that both feels natural in VR and makes total sense in kind of this world that you're existing in.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought up the barnacle, because I've been like trying real hard not to scream at this dude that I'm watching, because this dude, like, I know he thinks he's like a Half-Life pro, and I know he thinks he's doing it right. But look, folks, if you're playing Half-Life Alyx and you have an explosive barrel, right, and you feed it to a barnacle, you don't have to waste a bullet and shoot it to kill the barnacle. Like, this guy does it every time. And I'm like, dude, you're wasting ammo. Like, they'll eat the thing and they'll fall off. Just walk away.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you've got an explosive barrel and you don't, and you want to take out a barnacle, just throw it up. Do not waste a bullet.
By the way, the barnacles in Half-Life have always been like the thing, even more than the head crab, that just kind of freaks me out, because it's just so easy to miss them, because it's just that little thin line hanging down, and then you're just like walking around in previous Half-Life games, and you just get sucked up into the ceiling. You're like, what the crap's happening? I have not yet done that with the barnacle, where I said I let the zombie crab guy kind of beat on me for a little bit. I have not yet just got sucked up in a barnacle. I need to do that just to experience what that's going to feel like. But so far, I've been able just to avoid them and haven't had to deal with it, really. But that's one of those fascinating things. I'm really wanting to see what that experience is like in VR, because it's something that's always stuck with me from Half-Life, from the previous games of it just being this, you're running, you're like trying to get away from something, and suddenly a barnacle just sucks you up into the ceiling.
Okay, so one thing that I want you to try that this guy hasn't, this guy likes using the environment around him to deal with barnacles. I want to know what happens if, let's say, you get caught, right? And the thing that you do when you get caught and you don't have anything around you is you just look up and you shoot the thing until it dies. I want to know what that view looks like in a headset. Like, because when it dies, all of the crap that it's already eaten comes down on you. I want to know what that view looks like. And I'm just telling you right now, try it because I'm curious.
Me too. I think that'll be fun. Next time I fire it up, I'll definitely do that. Let me say one thing. We'll finish here because we're going to talk about this more in the future, and I would like to talk about a few of the other things we have on the docket for today. But one thing I'll just mention really quick. It still is a VR game in that it still has the kind of issues with VR specifically that after about an hour and a half, like I was just done. I was just worn out with it. Like I just couldn't play it longer. That part of that is, again, I'm playing it on Oculus Quest, which is the least comfortable headset that I've experienced. And so that's a big, big caveat to playing on a Quest. Outside of that, let me just to rave on Oculus on the other side of this. I'm just blown away by the performance on the Quest. I have a good VR PC. I don't have a great VR PC. I've got a good video card. I've got a decent processor.
You have a great VR PC. I don't know many people that have the VR PCs that we have.
Sure. But there's definitely a difference between what I'm doing and say what somebody like Duff is doing, you know, or Sam is doing that have newer, bigger, more powerful rigs. My rig is four and a half years old, something like that at this point. And it was a great VR rig when we built it, you know. But it's aged a little bit at this point. And so I was candidly a little bit worried about it just being laggy or hitching up or me seeing, you know, frame rate issues or whatever. It does feel like it takes a while to load, like when you go between the little scenes or chapters or whatever they call it. It doesn't feel like long. I need to go like watch and see if that's an issue that I have or if it's a very fairly common thing. But once I'm in, I've been really stunned by the performance. Mine doesn't look as good as some of the stuff I've seen online. The lighting effects aren't as good. Again, I'm playing on a Quest, which is a $400 headset, and I'm playing on my PC, which is good, not great for VR. And yet, I've just been stunned with the performance. Never had any performance issues in the world. It just didn't hitch like an ant, like, you know, have that point where, like, everything freezes for a little bit and kind of goes sideways, which I've had in plenty other games. Like, it just ran smoothly. And I really think that's a testament to Valve and their development, because it's by far the prettiest VR environment I've been in, too. From the very first moment you come in and you see the big spire and, like, like it's just looking over the city, you're like, oh my goodness, this is fantastic. The level of detail on all of the objects in the world, even like the gloves. I just spent like 2 minutes just like looking at my hands once I got the gravity gloves, because they have all these cool little intricate details on them, and just going, man, this is really, really deep, and like every detail that you can tell that they just really, really put effort into. And it works my rig at this point is not an unapproachable massive VR rig. If I had a more comfortable headset, I could probably play it for a little bit longer.
I looked up the specs. You know why all the stuff that you said is true? I looked up the specs. And the specs for Half-Life Alyx are not insane.
Yeah, like, and it's brilliant on Valve's part, because again, it's a AAA VR title that easily could have been like, okay, you got to upgrade to play this thing. But they know that like a lot of people that have VR capable rigs are also, you know, not going to be the top tier VR capable rigs. And if you're in the PC VR world, you can play this. Like, it's not going to be something that you likely have to upgrade. Now, again, if you want the enhanced lighting effects, if you want some more of the detail, all that kind of stuff, you can. But it's not going to be something that hitches on you. It's not going to be something that has lots of frame rate issues or anything like that. Like, it runs really well, and I'm very impressed by that.
You have a 1080, so I think when you plug in the Vibe, you're going to get the lighting and you're going to get the stuff. I don't think that has anything to do with your setup at this point.
Maybe. I'm really curious about that. I've just been so blown away by the Quest and how well it works. I'm really fascinated. And honestly, the best thing about the Quest is I didn't have to set up sensors. Where I play VR at is not in a place where I just leave my sensor set up, because it's in our family room and they're kind of a hassle. And so like that's the biggest thing. Like, it just is a pain to kind of set up and calibrate everything for the Vive, and the Quest is just so much easier to pick up and go. Unless it's a massive difference, I'll probably still just play it on the Quest for convenience. It's going to have to really blow it away, and I just can't imagine that being the case on the first gen Vive.
I really hope, because one thing I said I was going to do last week and I did, I told you guys I was going to send Gabe an email, and I did. And so we're patiently waiting for him to get back to us. I have absolute faith that he will at some point. And I think, to me, the upgrade does not come on this game. It comes on the next game. It comes on Portal.
Yes.
Because Portal will need an upgrade. Just because with all the portals and the lighting and the, like, yeah, that's going to be your upgrade game. The Alex is a test case.
Yes.
And Portal, an upgrade is going to be absolutely necessary. And I'm going to say something. Because we were debating this a couple of years ago, if we really had a need to build another mega box with the consoles coming out, PS5 and Xbox. And I'm going to say that it's time to upgrade or rebuild or something. And if we end up doing a rebuild, it's insane for me to say, but I have money set aside. And I think I'm probably going to spend every bit of $2,500 again. I have the money that we spent on these PCs. I've not regretted for one second.
Sure.
And you spent a little less than me. You were a little more frugal. But I know you haven't regretted yours.
No.
And I really feel like what we said 2 weeks ago or whatever it was when we were talking about building the box, I don't think there's any question. I'm going to build another. Actually, you're going to build another box.
Right.
And it's going to come to my house. And it's because of stuff like this.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. All that said, let's quickly just hit some of the other stuff that we do have on the show notes. Go by gamingandcensored.com to see stuff that we ultimately don't get to. I want to bring this up really quick because this may be the kind of juiciest little bit of rumory news that's come out in the past week or so. Nintendo is rumored to be working on a big kind of a slew of Mario remakes for the 35-year anniversary of Super Mario that are all specifically 3D Mario games, and so remakes right now, it looks like, of Mario Galaxy, which it feels like Mario Galaxy isn't that old, and so it just makes me feel old that they're already remaking that one. But then Mario Sunshine and Mario 64, and specifically Mario 64, which you and I have gone on and on and on about on this show. My goodness, would I love a kind of modern reimagining of Mario 64. That sounds fantastic.
I kind of think the opposite. I think if they try it, we're going to be disappointed.
Really? Interesting.
I really do, because I don't know, like, you can build an in the future, a now version of Mario 64. But if you do that, it ain't going to be Mario 64. You might as well build a new Mario title.
Do you feel that way about Final Fantasy VII?
No. And I can't tell you why. I can't tell you why. I don't know why I feel that way.
Let me be clear. I definitely don't want them to give it the Final Fantasy VII kind of remake thing. I want it to be the exact same world, the exact same levels, that just looks modern. You know, that's less polygonal and is more, looks like Mario Galaxy.
Okay, I'll take that.
Because I think Mario Galaxy is plenty pretty enough, which blows my mind that one is on the remake the thing. But whatever. New Mario is fine by me. Another rumor really quickly about the next Resident Evil game, Resident Evil 8, is rumored to be a first-person title that would be coming out sometime next year. Okay.
Well,
but just bizarre.
They did that with 7, and it worked out really well.
Yeah.
So.
they want to cap. Speaking of VR again, that world in VR, I just can't imagine. That was probably I don't know. I never played it because I don't think I could. But that Resident Evil 7 VR thing, I think was maybe the precursor to what Alex is now as far as being able to execute high level game in the VR world.
The funny thing about the Resident Evil 7, I told you that I work with three guys who are younger than us at the job that I no longer have. And one thing that we constantly joke about is that we talk about all these games. We talk about Dying Light. We talk about all these other games that are similar. And then we come back around to Resident Evil 7, and everybody in the same in the building has the same response, which is, I really like to play it, but I can't. Like, I just, nope. Like, like that was our response when we saw it, which was, nope. I don't want any of that. And yep. And everybody that I have talked to about it feels the same way. Like, nope, not playing it, nope. And yep. We're not even talking about VR. We're talking about like on your PC, and I still don't really want to play it.
Yeah. Speaking of Resident Evil, the game releases, I'll jump ahead just really briefly here. The Resident Evil 3 remake is now out.
That I want to play.
Too. Yeah, that's you can go pick that up on Steam. Has pretty decent reviews, low to mid 80s depending on platform at this point, which is pretty cool. A couple of coronavirus updates, because we're going to have coronavirus updates for a while, it feels like. Probably the biggest one at this point is The Last of Us Part 2 is officially delayed again, and this time delayed indefinitely. They haven't put a date on when they're going to try to get the thing out. According to Neil Druckmann, they're on, the way he said it, is that development is at the 1 yard line. They're just about there, and that it's logistical issues of trying to release it. That's really the hang up. It's not development issues. And so, obviously all kinds of things are uprooted right now. The truth is we have tons of really, really great games out there. And so it's a good time to play them with everything else kind of being terrible. Video games are one nice little bright spot of being stuck inside your house all the time. The Last of Us 2 isn't going to be one of those games you get to play for a little while longer, but get it right and make sure everybody's safe in the process, and we'll be here for whenever it gets here.
And please, people on the internet, be cool.
Yes, please.
Because these guys are doing the best they can. Everybody's doing the best they can. There are certain things in this world at this point that I do not understand. Part of the reason I was late for the show today is because I was having the third debate about why my church is still meeting and is not doing virtual type stuff. And apparently I'm the only one that kind of feels this way.
Fantastic.
And so because of us, you know, the coronavirus may go from lasting 6 months to it may linger into 2021. I hope that, because that's the debate we were having at lunch. They were talking about people getting sick, and I said, it's not about getting sick. It's about limiting the spread.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And people, I mean, you know, you live here.
Yeah,
people down here, just the attitude's different.
Absolutely. Yeah, and 100%. That's a whole nother conversation I imagine we'll get into at some point in this thing, because we're going to be holed up for a while still. Quickly, a couple other things on coronavirus front. Humble Bundle has just a massive bundle right now that is called Conquer COVID-19. And if you've ever wanted to see what Humble Bundle's all about, there's a link to this bundle. It's just tons and tons and tons of games that you can pay whatever you want with. Some of them, I'll pull a few of the highlights here. Hollow Knight, The Witness, which is just phenomenal, big island puzzle game. I think Myst, kind of modernized. Superhot, Fahrenheit, a personal favorite of ours.
Yeah!
That early Quantic Dream stuff. This is the Police, which is a title I really, really enjoyed. Brothers, which is just phenomenal. Broken Age, Psychonauts and Brutal Legend. And so if you Double Fine Adventure, if you need that itch scratched, World of Goo, which we've talked about on this show before, that's older but is just fantastic. All kinds of stuff. Plus, if the games are enough for you, it also includes a lot of books, graphic novels, comics, that kind of stuff, including The Boys, if you're familiar with that world on Amazon. Saga, which is supposed to be this great comic series. I'm trying to see if anything else just jumps out to me there. All that said, and if you do this, you also get a free month of the Humble Choice, which is their monthly subscription thing that right now, the one of the games for April is Hitman 2. If you've ever thought about jumping in with Humble Bundle, this is a good time to do it. Plus, the money that you give them is going towards charity. They've got specific charities that are obviously helping with the pandemic response. And so you can choose where you want to send that money to. It's just a cool thing. I've always loved Humble Bundle. And now there's a billion games. If you're looking for something to play, if you've already exhausted your catalog, God bless you, first of all. But here's a lot more new stuff that you can pick up. So.
We have not done that, and it's going to take a long time.
Yes, and it is going to take a long time.
It's like Brigham said on the Facebook page, you probably got time because we're probably going to be here a while.
Yes. Yeah, that's very true.
I love that dude because he just sort of said it the way it is, which is basically Americans are stupid.
Yep.
And it's absolutely right.
Yep, he's not wrong. Kind of related to that, the ESA has officially set a date for E3 2021. Not happening this year, but they're optimistic that it's going to happen next year. So June 15th to 17th, 2021, mark your calendars. We'll see whether or not we get E3 next year. I just can't imagine, even if it does happen, that it's anywhere on the level of what E3 has been.
It's like people talking about the NFL. Like, are you nuts?
Yeah,
that's not happening.
I saw a story that the Major League Baseball's optimistic plan right now is that they can start the season on July 1, playing games in Arizona at the spring training facilities with no audience. That's their optimistic idea right now. And it's just like, good gracious. That just sounds terrible. Sports. There's a, I skipped over it, but there's a story in the show notes about ESPN2 today on Sunday is playing 12 hours of esports.
Yes,
including
they are.
The players a tournament for NBA 2K, which is great because there's nothing else to do sports wise, and so why not put NBA players in front of their screens playing NBA 2K? I don't know what else you do at this point. So God bless them.
Like seriously, those guys don't have anything to do, and I've been, even though there's nothing going on, it's amazing. I still watch ESPN every day because. That's where I, honestly, and maybe this is just you and I that feel this way, I don't know that you feel this way, but ESPN's, for me, is the best place for news, because whatever is going on with the sports leagues, I know that's probably fairly accurate. The rest of it, I'm not real sure about, but whatever is going on, whatever they're saying over there, probably is fairly accurate. So, yeah.
And this time, Twitch has also had a huge uptick in viewership over the past month. This is, if ever there was a time for esports to really get into the mainstream, this is the time. Rocket League is one of the things that they're broadcasting today on ESPN2. That's, you know, like NBA 2K with NBA players. Okay, like obviously there's a connection there to what ESPN does on a day-to-day basis, even if it's a video game. But like Rocket League being broadcast is not something that you would would necessarily expect on ESPN or ESPN2, maybe the Ocho, but not
the Ocho.
I kid you not. The other day, I don't know the context of this, just on TV, like just randomly, like I think it was a week or two ago, like pulling up Meet the Press on a Sunday morning or something like that. Like on my currently live was rock skipping on the Ocho. And I sat and watched it for probably 15 minutes of a rock skipping competition on the Ocho. That I'm like, what the crap is this? That it was just amazing. I still have no context for it, but it was fabulous. I thoroughly enjoyed that. So
I got it. Well, while we're talking about random stuff, I got to give a massive shout out to my boy. I don't know how you feel about him, but my guy, my new favorite guy, Mr. Scott Van Pelt over at ESPN does Sports Center at Night, is showing up like four nights a week and talking about whatever he can find to talk about. And it is vastly entertaining. I don't know if you watch Sports Center at Night, but he's fantastic.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you want to like get a smile, go find Scott Van Pelt on ESPN because he'll find a way to make you laugh. Yeah. It's vastly entertaining.
I've always loved Van Pelt. So, one last thing I'll throw in here just because I teased it earlier and I really wanted to mention it. Netflix is potentially working on a new video game series.
Oh no!
Based on Dragon's Lair.
Oh!
With Ryan Reynolds potentially being the star.
Okay, yeah, I can do that.
Right? I love every part of that. I love Dragon's Lair. It's so absurd and ridiculous and fantastic. And Ryan Reynolds feels like the perfect dude to be whatever the dude's name is. What? Something daring, right? I don't remember
what the guy's name is.
The dude with the helmet would be fabulous. And so I'm super jazzed about the idea of Dragon's Lair with Ryan Reynolds on Netflix.
How many hours did we waste on Dragon's Lair as kids?
My goodness.
There's not much to it.
No, there's not. It's like playing a cartoon.
Yeah.
With QuickTime events. Like really. But it was so funny and so absurd. And yeah, it was just fantastic. So Dirk the Daring. There we go. Dirk the Daring.
Fantastic.
So I'm about that. Let's do Dragon's Lair on Netflix. So there
one,
you go.
One interesting thing is because I've been playing video games, I have not been watching Netflix. So if this thing ever lets up and people ask me what I watched on Netflix, I'm going to go, yeah, I still got a pretty good watch list.
Yeah.
Because the funny thing is, I warned you have a choice in life. You can either play video games or watch TV. It's kind of hard to do both.
Yes.
So
That's fair. I'll make a recommendation. I haven't been watching a ton either, but I've been watching BoJack Horseman, which it took me a long time to come around to because I thought it was the stupidest sounding thing of like this old washed up horse as an actor thing. But it's Will Arnett, which I didn't realize until just recently that Will Arnett is.
You love that guy.
And I love Will Arnett. And so that was the thing that finally kind of got me into it. It's really good. I really enjoy BoJack Horseman, as absurd as it is, which it is ridiculously absurd. But it's also like super like moving and serious and heavy at times with a cartoon horse. It's just, yeah, it's bizarre. I highly recommend it. It's very good. So if you do need some TV, by all means, check out BoJack Horseman.
There's lots and lots of good stuff to see, lots and lots of good stuff to play. And here's the thing, and I gotta ask this before we wrap up. But I've gotten a massive kick out of the people on the internet that say they're bored at home. They don't know what to do. I'm going, folks, what reality are you living in? Like, I feel like a kid on summer vacation. When I'm not working, like, there's nothing else to do. So fire up something cool and have a good time.
Yeah.
I really am. I don't want to be flippant about it, but at least right now I'm having a good time. And a lot of that has to do with Duff. I got to tell you this real quick Duff story before we go. I've been going back and forth with Duff, and of course Duff's checking on us, and Duff's working a lot because he's in the medical profession in the military, and those people are working their butts off, and so he's not around just a ton, but we're talking back and forth, and I told him that I wasn't working, and I had not been working for a month. And it felt like it was time for the show to go full time. And Duff's response was, "You guys are going to get paid. It's going to happen. You're going to be full time. It's going to happen." And I said, "Why, dude? What makes you think that? Because we've been doing this for like 16 years. And we're just two idiots for the microphone." And he's like, "Dude, you guys have such good chemistry on the air. Like, that does not exist in podcast." I'm like, "All right, dude. I don't know what you're listening to, but I love that optimism." So the ever-present rainbow that is Duff has struck again.
That's it. That's wonderful. Somebody wants to say hi to you really quick.
Hey!
She's say hi?
Back!
You're shy?
Why are you shy?
Can you say hello?
Sing me the California song. I want to know about the California song.
Do you like the California song?
Can you sing it to me?
Can you sing it in the microphone?
No.
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 Have you been playing video games?
Yeah.
Have you been playing Ori? You like Ori? Yeah, it's pretty great, isn't
you
it?
You are super cute today. Why are you being shy?
I want the game.
You want to play the game? She asks about it all the time. She also asked to check on my island on Animal Crossing on the Switch. She wants to make sure the island's going well, too. So.
Oh, okay.
She's found some good video game outlets so far in the pandemic. Who's that? It's Mario. We have a little toy Mario figure, which has become her little friend as well.
Okay, so we got to wrap up because she's in the room. And when she gets in the room, that means that it's time to come do something else. But I have to say, the thing that I can't wait for is to get in a room with the four of you and just watch. Like, that's going to be some entertainment right there. Because she's turning into a little person.
She is absolutely turned into a little person.
She is totally a little person.
She has all kinds of personality. And she's ready to get out of the house.
And I'm totally jealous. And I'm thankful that she's around. And folks, if we haven't said it before, we are very thankful to have what we have and do what we do, and take care of your families, love your families, because they're all you got. And we're glad that you're part of ours. You know where all our stuff is. You know where the Facebook page is. You know where the Twitter is. And there's lots of stuff on that Twitter. It's fun. Lots of good stuff going on the Facebook page, thanks to Sam and various other people going on over there. Always talking about something, so join us over there. Definitely keep up with us on Patreon, because there will be a roundtable soon. We can't tell you when, but it'll be soon.
Yes.
Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy and Genevieve, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.